Okay, so today is the third week, right? I didn't remember wrongly. And just now, Wei Xiang also, when he prayed, he talked about this being the third week. So I don't know, it's just the third week. So whether you're still surviving well, is it like, I don't think you're up to your neck yet. So, but I guess the stress will be building up. And then the busyness, the workload, because I think this is around the time where you get to hear the deadlines. By when you must submit which assignment, what group project, and so on. So I think this is the time where stress is mounting. And that's why today I thought of the topic is to find strength in Emmanuel. And I think I don't have to explain too much on why we need strength in this campus, because actually, even if you don't have the competitive spirit or whatever, just step into this place, you hear so many people talking and it's like a very vibrant place. Naturally, certain, we need strength. If not to deal with our study load, it is also to deal with the campus culture, the overwhelming young people culture or the trends, the pursuits that they are in their heart. So we need God, not just once in a while. I look at the three of you, maybe you are so blessed that you won't have this idea where you think that, oh, I only need God during deadlines and during exam time. But if you are truly blessed child of God, you know that you don't just need God in specific crisis emergency moments, but you need God every day. And if you are even more blessed, you know you don't just need God every day. You need God every moment, every second, because when we are not alert, we just got led astray. We just wander away and get sucked into the world. And so a lot of people, you know, when they think about following God and they think about being a good Christian witness in the campus, they think that we need to be very courageous. We need to be very determined and resolute. But the thing is, when we talk about Christian faith, it's not just about, oh, you need to be bold for God, be courageous for God. So because a lot of people, they try to master a lot of their courage and to follow God seriously, closely. But the thing is, when we talk about Christian journey, Christian walk, when we talk about finding strength, and when we talk about following Jesus, it's not so much about human factor first. I mean, of course, human, we play a part to respond to God, but what I'm talking about is not human factor first. And of course, you know what I'm going to say. It's, of course, God factor first. We need to think about God first. And when we talk about thinking about God first, this one I'll explain it later. So, why can't we base on human factor? And even for Christians, you realize we are very prone to look at human factor. But the thing is, the moment we give more weight to human factor, it becomes like a willpower thing. Then you start to maybe credit too much certain people or yourself, or you start to blame yourself or feel very lousy about yourself. You know, because sometimes it's very easy for we humans to think, you know, oh, this person, this Christian, he's so blessed because he has great faith, because he has a lot of talents, he's very smart, he's very wise, he's very diligent in revising his work, and that's why no wonder God bless him so much. And then, this Christian, he can be such a wonderful testimony in the school because he can present the gospel in a very eloquent way. And then sometimes when we think too much on the human factor, we start to look at ourselves and we say, hey, see lah, you know, no wonder I didn't get any blessings from God because, you know, I'm not so smart, I'm very lazy, I didn't even pray every day. So actually, it is not so much human factor that we want to, we want to focus on. And why is this such an important introduction? Because here in this campus, you realize the very thing that's always being highlighted and exhorted is human factor. You know, your teacher will challenge you to unleash your potential, to think on your feet, to bring out the best in you. And this is the campus culture because this is like an elite environment. Everybody here, to a certain extent, they will have certain awareness of them being not so bad. I mean, the fact that you can come here means you have certain qualities. So this is a culture where it emphasizes a lot on human factor. And that's why we need to be very sober. Just now he prayed. I don't know, he prayed very fast. Don't know whether you catch his words. He prayed, let us be sober-minded. Sober-minded in what sense? This is such a broad term. What does it mean by being sober-minded? to be sober, not to be like people of the world, where we look at human factor more than God factor. And so, there's so many things about God, right? So, today I want to narrow down to, when we talk about God, one key factor about God that we must not forget and always must confirm and remember is what? Well, this is a simple question. Qiao Yi, are you trying to see whether you can see the board without a specs? Do you wear specs, usually? How come you like that, straining your eyes? Okay, so when we talk about God factor, what is one important thing we need to always remember about God that I want to zoom in and narrow down today in our sharing? The answer is on the board. Hey, you Qiao Yi, are you? Yeah, there's only two things, right? Strength and Emmanuel. Yeah, so when we talk about God, the key thing I want to impress upon our mind, our heart, our spirit today is God is the Emmanuel God and He is with us. That is one important thing when we say, I want to focus on God factor. And so today we want to later zoom into what does it mean by God is with us? How is He with us? But first, let's read Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. It's a short passage about Jesus calling His disciples. So Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. So Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to Him those He wanted, so meaning His disciples, and they came to Him. And He appointed 12, so 12 disciples, that what? So He appointed 12, and the first thing that was given to this 12 is what? That they might be with Him. So, the first most important promise being presented is Emmanuel. Because, God didn't say other things, no, that they may go and unleash their potential, they may go and display their skills, they may go and show off how smart they are. The first most important factor to be blessed, to be used by God, is that we can be with God. That is God's greatest blessing to us. And by clinging close to God, that is also our wisest response. And that He might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. So, it's not about the action first. You know, a lot of people say, oh, what must I do as a Christian? Or you must go and preach, you must go and pray, etc. But the most important thing is to hold tight to the Emmanuel promise first. Then, when you are so assured that God is with you, then verse 15, then you can have authority to drive out demons. Okay, so when we talk about God factor and God being with us, there's a few things we need to note. So I talk about God factor. So first, we need to know that when we think about God, it has to start first with the central plan of God. Because whatever God does, however God leads, however God designs things, it is with a central plan in mind. You know, God is not a random God. So everything God does is with His central plan. And of course, this is so easy, three of you. So God's central plan have three key point. So it's very easy. One of you say one thing. So I don't even call names. The first to say is always the easiest because you have more options. So what does God's central plan entails? Bless us? Yes. So I lump it into, so us is God's people. So God wants to save us, heal us, sanctify us. Okay. No, this is relating to God's people. So in His plan, people is an important thing. Glorify who? Wow, okay. Wow, you're very fast. You scared. You become the last one, is it? Okay, glorify God. Glorify God and in particular, Jesus Christ. So in a lot of New Testament verses, we read that, you know, how Jesus died, but God raised Him to glorify Him, to sit here at the throne, to put every enemy under the stool, footstool, to be the footstool of Jesus. So, glorify God. And then, finale. God's plan also includes, you see, Jesus, I'll give you a hint. Jesus is the King, right? King of kings and Lord of lords. So if he's king, he needs a what? Can I say I'm a king? When I only see the chairs and table and I'm the king to the chairs and table. A place. So God's another purpose is about building his kingdom. So 我们生命堂的那个 motto 就是什么？容神、一人、建国。 So 这个是三个。 So everything that God does. Okay, if you want to make sense about your life, you know, last week, Qiao Yi asked this question: how do we test God's will? In other words, by the way, that's my Sunday. Thanks for your question. Give me inspiration for my Sunday message. So, you know, how do you make sense of your life? You know, sometimes to us, our life is our life. God is God. Spiritual is spiritual. Earthly is earthly. Everything is so detached that, and everything sounds so abstract. But let me tell you, everything God does is relating to this. So apart from this central plan, everything else is meaningless. Meaning to say, if you have a lot of money, but you don't have the king in your life, everything will fall flat. If you have a lot of achievement and you have a lot of self-glory, but whatever you do doesn't glorify God, it will not be counted. In God's eyes, this is rubbish. You know, in God's eyes, this counts for nothing. If everything we do, we are not accumulating wealth for the kingdom. We're just accumulating comfort for ourselves for this life, but we didn't think anything about the future kingdom, our future final destiny, our home, our future heavenly home. Everything we store up this on earth, as what the Bible tells us, is to be eaten up by moth, stolen by thief, and it's going to be in vain. So everything only makes sense when it relates to this central plan. And if you want to make sense of your life, think of connecting dots of how whatever you're experiencing today relates to God's plan. And this is what we will talk about later. So God, why is this plan so important? Because again, I say God is not a random God. He will never deviate. He will never change his plan. So along the way, you realize, you know, sometimes, you know, when you have plans, sometimes along the way, certain hiccups may come, you know. Wow, God had this plan to let Adam and Eve multiply and increase in number. And along the way, seems to have some hiccup. This devil come and tempt Eve, and Eve then fell, and Adam also sinned, and then they all get into curse. But even if man could be weak, even if man sometimes could be forgetful, even if man sometimes cannot overcome temptation and fail, but God's plan still remain. And the Bible again and again proves this to us. You know, Adam and Eve was the first to have this accident or hiccup, but God still preserved a promise, Seth, a promised son, Seth, through the line of Seth. And then along the way in the promised line, there's other people who have hiccups. Even David, he also have gone wrong. He also was weak. Just like us, you know, sometimes we thought, oh, now God, last week you witnessed a lot of your friends, you're very happy, go and celebrate, right? All your friends, cell group member, they got baptized. So we say, wow, God, we are on the right journey. Huh, sorry? Huh? Your Han Hong posted on Facebook and Instagram, and I'm not a mountain tortoise, so of course I know. So you're very happy, right? So you all thought, oh, now baptized already. This is even this Jingyang say, this is the happiest day of my life. I thank God for that proclamation. But then, along the way, you realize, after becoming Christian, sometimes we also got cheated by the world. You know, suddenly for one moment, we thought the world is more fun than God. We thought money is more important than God, or whatever. You know, for a moment, we will be shaken. But whatever happens, God's plan never change. And because of such an important central plan, this central plan is the reason why God is with us today. So this central plan is the very reason why God is with us today and give us all our qualities and conditions in our life and our encounters for this purpose. You know, so everything that is given to us, our qualities, our strengths, our weaknesses, our hobbies, our background, our talents, our family or interpersonal relationship, even our encounter. Today we encounter good things, or today we encounter undesirable circumstances. Everything is for the purpose of this plan. And that's the reason why God is with us today. So, you know, if everything revolves around God's central plan, and that is the reason why he's with us today, then we don't have to, this is something that I have been what I'm going to say is something that has been my life motto, not life motto, key reminder to my life since I was in uni life, when I first get in touch with the Emmanuel message. That is, as a Christian, there's no reason for us to get too excited or too depressed over anything in the world, on earth. Because if I get something very happy, say I get very good result, or say I got a lot of suitors, you all know I like romantic stuff, right? So if I got a lot of suitors and I got a very good result, then nothing to feel too proud or happy, because it is out of God's grace and it is for God's plan. You know, I have good results so that I can have some things to testify about God's goodness. The encounters that I have in my life, if there's a lot of suitors, if one day two of you have a lot of suitors, is for you to train yourself to seek God amidst all the options and stay true to God and not listen to only your heart. So everything that we encounter, don't need to feel too high, because it's out of God's mercy that we have that good stuff. But we also don't need to get too depressed, because even if I got lousy grade, even if I have certain undesirable outcome, it is also for us, for me, for you, to testify about how God, His power can make a weak person strong. How God can turn things around, you know, make all things work for the good. How God can turn garbage, I'm talking about myself, garbage into something valuable. You know, so whether it's good or bad that happens to us, our conditions or encounter, nothing to feel too high, nothing to feel too depressed. Because what matters is not what we have, but who we are. Remember this. What matters is not what we have, what kind of achievement we have, what conditions we have, what qualities we have, but what matters is what? Who you are. Who you are in God. Okay, so this is something we need to bear in mind. So when you're assured that there's a reason why God is with us, it's because of His central plan, not because of my factor, not because of human factor, I tell you, you'll be very assured. Why? Because if you think that God is with me when I'm a good person, then you're going to be very insecure. Because there will be times where our faith are not strong. There will be time where we are not interested in God. There will be time where we will be numb towards God. And so if God is with us, depending on my response to Him, then jialat, you know, then we will be very insecure. But God is with us because He has His central plan. And then third, we need to realize that every time when we place the emphasis on humans factor, then you will realize the work of God will diminish in your eyes. Okay, I should say in your eyes. Because the work of God never diminishes. But in your eyes, you start to see that you start to attribute lesser and lesser weight to the work of God. Okay, so you see, when we overemphasize on human factor, you will tend to feel, you know, only when I'm not bad, only when circumstances are pleasant, then I can affirm that God, you are indeed with me. You can see the work of God when things are smooth sailing, when you are feeling good. But then, when we focus on human factor, when things take a turn for the bad, we will start to question, God, why are you so far away from us? God, why are you not powerful to stabilize things? So you realize that a lot of times, why people say, I cannot see God, I cannot confirm that God is working, that is because we overemphasize on human factor, on the circumstances, is it good or is it bad? And so in the same way, when we want to live out a Christian witness in the campus. One example, for example, a lot of times people say, "Oh yeah, it's so hard to evangelize or talk about God in this campus." You talk about fashion, you talk about nice food, you talk about project, everybody want to talk to you. When you start talking about God, people are not interested. So sometimes we look at human factor and we see that their faith is so indifferent. We see that they are there's no need for God in our friend's life. Or we see that they are still worshipping the world or idols so much that we see, yeah, it's not possible to talk to them about God. But who says? When you look to God, then God can surprise us by directing us to certain opportunities that we never imagined if we are fixated on human factor, we can never spot those doors. But when we look to God, God can turn our perspective in a different direction. Okay, so this is about central plan of God. So when we are clear about this central plan of God, then you can start to receive power from Emmanuel, meaning you can start to receive power from the presence of God. And so the power of God's presence come in three forms that I'm urging all of us to confirm today. So we know God is Emmanuel. We have been hearing that. And Emmanuel means God is with us. And so God is with us, surely He has power. So how do you... Okay, so the presence of God give us power in three different... of course it can be more than that, but today I just want to narrow down. So the first way by which Emmanuel can give us power is through assurance. Okay, assurance. So what is assurance? Because God is always, some things is like that. When you are in frequent and close proximity with someone, something, it will be more deeply impressed in your heart and you'll build up that faith and assurance in us. So when God is always with us, He never leaves us, He will build up this assurance. As you confirm the presence of God more and more in every situation, you will start to build up this spiritual assurance inside you that make you believe that no matter how bad the situation is, no matter how impossible the situation is, God is there to be in charge. God is there to be with me. God is there to guide us through. And so, you see, this assurance, so how does this assurance give you power? When you confirm this for yourself, when you look more to God factor, God's presence, the disbelieving and negative spirit inside you will grow weak. Sometimes we cannot reach a perfect state where there's zero negativity and zero doubts inside us. I mean, we are humans, we are fallen. But we can tilt the balance a bit. The more we find assurance and confirm the presence of God, remind ourselves and check out the evidence of God's presence, you realize the more this disbelieving and the negative spirit will flee from you. So sometimes this is something you need to deliberately pray over and confirm. Last time at work, okay, not last time, all along, I don't know about all of you, since young, I have this fear of authority. Psychology talk about fear of authority. I am afraid of my mother. Since very young, I'm very afraid of my mother and her cane. Then when I get older, I'm very afraid of teachers. When teachers glare at me, I'm very scared. I'm very quiet one. Then when I'm older, I'm very scared of boss. So boss say one thing, I'm very scared. So I'm very scared of authorities, of figures of authority. Okay, thankfully towards pastor, still okay. Because it's grace. What? No, hey, you think I'm not very respectful towards pastor, man? I also... No, I'm not scared of pastor, but sometimes I will... Yeah, but I respect him. So that's with healing. So, but every time when I face a figure of authority, since young until older, especially with my boss, when I confirm that God is with me, sometimes when my boss question me, why you didn't do this well? Why is the targets not met? Or, why are you not producing a good piece of work? Wow, when he asks like that, it's like a bit devastating. But I always think that, God is with me in this. Or when he throw me something that I've never done before and say, go and execute well, then it's very stressful. But every time I think, God is with me facing the... And last time when I'm at work, I have faced the minister, the CEO, all the big shot, and they will question you and you have to answer as if you know a lot, even though I may not know everything. So, but every time I go, I say, no, God is with me in this Q&A. God is with me in this questioning by the bosses. And when you keep thinking about God with you, it will give you the assurance that He will guide you through. He will give you sufficient grace, and that will give you power. And so you realize, when you have assurance in something, when you have assurance that wherever I go, whatever I do, God is with me, this assurance will give you the power to put in your best because you are assured that whatever happens, God is in charge. Sometimes if you are doing things half-heartedly, you don't know whether you will succeed or not. Even the energy, the effort, the way in which you invest to do something well will be diluted. But if I know something will work because God is with me, then I will put my best effort to do it well because I know God is with me. So you sense it. You know, say for example, if you want to study a piece of thing for exam, and you have no assurance that God is with you, then you don't even have the heart to study. Aiyah, anyway, study also will fail. Right? You just lose heart and was not putting your best. But if this is a challenging exam, but you know God is with you, then you have this assurance that God will be with me and remind me on the spot to remember what I revise, or to, even if I don't remember, to answer to the best of my ability to which he has given us, then you will find the power to do the things well. So God, he being with us, the first power that comes from it is assurance. Okay, next, then the presence of God will definitely bring us what else? So presence of God bring us assurance. You have a big God walking with you everywhere you go. You will make you brave. Second, when we have this Almighty God being with us everywhere we go and in our life in every moment, surely he will bring with his presence guidance. So God, he gives us strength. You know, you will feel very assured when you are led by the best shepherd. You know, if you take a taxi and the taxi driver looks very lost, you'll be worried for your life. Not for your life. You will worry. You will be, say for example, if you go for an exam, you are scared of being late. And then this taxi driver looks so blur. Oh, I don't know where is this place. Where is AYE? Where is CTE? Don't know where. And you start to panic. Oh, I put my life into this and I'm going to face an important event later. But when we are with God and he's almighty, all-knowing, and we know whatever he leads surely is right, we will find power. So God's guidance is, and sometimes people say, but God's guidance sounds very abstract also. Don't sometimes over mystify things. So where is God's guidance? How is God guiding you now? You know, some people say, no, I don't know how is God guiding me now. So that person, when he doesn't know, he's thinking in two abstract terms. God is guiding you now in your condition. So here you are in NUS, one in engineering, one in arts and social science, one is in project design. Is it called architecture or in the faculty? The faculty is called what? Project. Oh, project management. This is not my era, that's why I always forget this. So how is God guiding you? God is guiding you there and there. God is guiding you in the place that you are right now. You are still students. God is guiding you as a student. So if you are a student, you keep saying, oh, God, how much should I earn next time? That is not something for you to think about at this moment. If you are already studying project management, you keep thinking, God, how nice it is if I were to be a psychologist. That is for Hui Ping to think. So it's like, you know, just not like last week I mentioned I wanted to put material engineering as my first choice, right? But the moment I get into arts and social science, I stopped thinking about the material engineering. So think also, no point, right? I'm not studying that. So the thing is, how is God guiding us? God is guiding us in right now, what he's doing today, not tomorrow, not later. I mean, future also included in God's guidance. But what gives us power is to explore his guidance here and now, not later. So through the place that he asks you to go now, through the things that he's asking you to do now, through the people that he's asking you to meet now. You know, some people say, God, I don't know what is your guidance. I don't know who am I supposed to make friends with, who am I supposed to show concern to. It is with people that you are hanging out with right now. You know, some people say, no, among those people I'm hanging out with, either I don't like them or they doesn't seem to be receptive to the gospel. But actually, God is, again I said, not random. His guidance lies in your present circumstances, your present set of people that you're with, your present roles, your present status. And so when we want to, and so sometimes even if, you know, we feel like in the present circumstances I've not done something correctly, don't feel lousy about current status, but see it as, this is how God led. God has led me so, and there must be a reason why I'm here. So you try to link it back to his central plan. So me being here with this group of people, how does it lead to saving God's people, glorifying Jesus, and building His kingdom? You know, so last time I felt, frankly, so I'm opposite from Xiao Yi lah. You know, you want to come, like, last time when I was in psychology, I was like sitting there and thinking, what can I do with my psychology? So, but then there's always, so I try to connect the dots to the central plan. I tell you, if I don't have the foundation of this central plan, I'll be thinking, hi, I'm just waste my time here. I go out, I flip the newspaper, nobody want to recruit psychologists back then. But then if I relate to the central plan, then it makes a lot of sense to me. It's like, oh, people of this world, they have a lot of internal issues, psychological issues, fears, worries, they have no way out. They need answers. And as I go through this process, then I start to like a lot. It's like, I really like psychology a lot. But then, of course, theology is better lah. So when you connect to the central plan, you make sense. Even for engineering, so you say, okay, but people, engineering, what equipment and people are like totally opposite things. So I mean, engineering, how has it got to do with the central plan of God? I build the kingdom of God, not with machines. So what's the relationship? But when you connect it with the plan of God, you can make sense. It's like, engineering is so difficult. So through the difficulty, how God give you wisdom, it build your faith in Him. And all your life story are your data bank when you share your stories with people. And that can also point them to God. So God's power comes through guidance. And then the next is God's presence will also bring anointing, which will give you power. So just now Jesus called His disciples, and then He first asked the disciples to be with Him, and then asked them to preach. But finally He said, and He gave them authority to drive out demons. So God will surely give us the anointing, meaning the resources, basically it's resources that we need to fulfill His plan. So God will, for your case, God will make you a better student and a better witness or follower of Christ for your case. So, you know, when we see the presence of God, how does it make us a better student? This is what all of you like, you know. Study with less stress. Be exam smart. I tell you, all along, if you know me well enough, you know I'm not particularly smart. I know you all know that I'm not particularly smart. But I thank God that He always made me exam smart. That's how He brought me to where I am. Because on a day-to-day basis, my friend will look at me and say, how can this person go to university? Or how can this person attain certain things? But then every time during exam, I shock them. Because exam is where I pray most, of course. And then God will give me certain ways to study well, such that I can score. I mean, that's God's guidance for me. It's different from everyone, but anointing comes, for example, in the sense of being a better student. But I need to say the disclaimer. A better student does not mean that the results will be better. Because we see there are nice, real, good Christians with their grades only average. But more anointing to be a better student also means you can better cope with study stress. You know, everybody is crazy over their work, very competitive, and cannot let go certain things. But as an anointed student in Christ, we can let go of certain things easier, and we will be less human-driven and more God-driven in our studies. You know, we will not depend so much on our wits, on our determination to revise. Of course, those are important, but we will place more importance in how we cling on to God, ask for His help, because we come to the realization, if you have been a student long enough, you come to, and a blessed Christian also, I'm sure you have come to this realization, and I hope you have come to this realization, that no matter how much effort you put to study well, no matter how well you think you are good in certain subject, without the hands of God, also no point. You know, because again, my favorite verse: unless the Lord builds, the builders labor in vain. This is one conclusion that I've come to affirm time and again as a student. You know, a lot of times I thought I can excel in this subject. This is a strong subject for me. I study so well. I put in all the effort, studies from chapter one to all the end of the chapter. In the end, if God didn't help, if God didn't want, also no point. But on the other hand, things that I'm not so sure of, and I ask for more of God's help, when God gives us the wisdom, we'll be surprised. So, anointing comes from God in the in terms of being a better student, of not being so stressed, of being exam smart, etc., etc. But also a better witnesses and follower of God. Because you need to know, this student is just your part-time occupation. Although every time you fill in form, you have put your occupation, right? You have to put student. This is just part-time. But your status as a child of God, as a witness of God, as a follower of God, this is actually your lifetime. So when I put full-time, actually it's your lifetime role. So in everything we do, whether it's now in campus or later in the workplace, anointing means God will make you a better witness for Him. Meaning to say, as you journey with God and confirm His presence more and more, God will make you more sensitive to the needs of people. God will make you not just sensitive. Some people are sensitive to the needs of people, but they don't care. And that's your problem. But they also make you less empathetic, meaning more loving. Because people, the problem of today's era is people are getting more and more apathetic, more indifferent. They just don't care about certain things. They turn a close one eye or turn a blind eye to certain things. But with anointing of God, God will give us more love, more empathy. And not just that, but also more wisdom to know how to bring gospel into the life of people, into conversation, in a natural, non-offensive way. And so all this requires anointing. So God will give you the eye to look out for people who truly hunger for God. So here is, sometimes when we don't have anointing, we just have this overarching sense that nobody is interested in God. This is what at the TBRC pastors say, right? This is one lie that we must not fall into. But when we have the anointing from God, we will start to see that there's different kind of people. There's one kind of people beside us whom everything may look well for them. But sometimes when you interact with them, they will reveal to you that, areas in which they are not satisfied with their life. They will reveal to you some of their little fears. They will acknowledge that there's certain limitation in their life. And these are the people where we can focus more on when we want to share the good news with them. In gist, why is today's message important? Because God is Emmanuel, always with us, but our problem is we do not always see God. We only see God when we get a wonderful result, or when we see God when we get the module we want. We only see God when today something nice happened to us. Our problem is, why are Christian, blessed child of God, sometimes struggling in the campus? It's because we do not see this truth, this common truth, regularly enough. What we see more regularly is things around us, what the teachers say, what our friends are doing, what the textbook are telling us, and how are we, our own factors. And that's why we keep losing strength in this kind of environment, such as the campus. And that's why today's message is important, to help us regain not just strength once, but all the time. And so, I summarize. Not human factor first, but God factor. And when we talk about God factor, He is not a random God. He has His central plan in mind. And because of His central plan, that's the reason why He's with you today. Because you are, why is it that because of His central plan, He's with you today? Because you believe in His central plan. I look at the three of you, I know you believe in His central plan. And you are an instrument for His central plan. And that's the reason God has to be with you. Because you look at this whole campus, even though there are people smarter than you, even though there are people prettier than you, more handsome than you, even though there are people richer than you, but not every one of them believe this central plan, interested in this central plan, and can be an instrument for God. But you are. So that's why in the eyes of God, you are more important than those people who are like not related to God's central plan. And so because of His central plan, He will be with you. And the reason why He's with you is not because of your own factor, you're more adorable, more faith, but because He has important purpose through your life. And God, so that's the reason why we shouldn't be focusing on our own factor, because you need to confirm. You need to confirm when are the moments you lose strength. That is the moment where you focus on human factor, and then the work of God, the power of God diminish in your eyes. And so, today we will talk about Emmanuel. We pray that God through Emmanuel, restore to us this assurance that no matter what happens, God will never leave us in the lurch. No matter what happens, God can give us victory. And God is guiding us. He's not just with us to watch us when we will fall. He's with us to guide us, especially through our current sets of qualities and conditions. And God is with us. He will do productive work. He's not just with us for nothing. He will give us anointing. Because He knows we need anointing. Meaning to say, He knows we need added strength, added resources. That's why He's with us, to give us the anointing to be a better student, to be a better witness and child of God.